This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley, and our co-host is Bridget Eyre.
Yeah.
Hey, this is going to be a great program, and we've got a great guest that we want to get to here in just a moment. But first, it was big news a couple of weeks ago, and if you haven't heard about it, it's still pretty big news. Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, is going to be our guest speaker at our golf outing. That is coming up on May 22nd. That's a Tuesday, May 22nd at Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. It's going to be a great day of fun. It starts with Mass at 11 o'clock in the morning, a luncheon at buffet luncheon at about 11:30 or so, and a shotgun start shortly after noon, and then a great meal in the evening. And the speaker is scheduled to be Chris Ballard, general manager of the Indianapolis Colts. So that's going to be a great evening. How do you sign up? Easy. Go to CatholicRadioIndy.org. CatholicRadioIndy, I-N-D-Y, .org and sign up. Or if you have any questions, give us a call here at 317-870-8400. So we still have a room available for foursomes. We do have room available for individual golfers. And if you own a business or an organization that would like to sponsor a hole, that helps us out a whole bunch as well. You can use the same contact information that I just gave you, 317-870-8400, or CatholicRadioIndy.org.
And I'm Bridget Eyre, and my guest today for Faith in Action is Breanne Eichorn, right?
Yes, Eichorn.
And and she is from the Office of Human Life and Dignity from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you, Bridget.
So why don't we start by talking a little bit about you, your background, your parish that you're at, and maybe how long you've been in the job and what your role is. You know, 25 questions there. You can start with any one of those.
Okay, great.
Did you grow up Catholic? Let's start there.
Yes, I did grow up Catholic. I actually went to Christ the King grade school.
Oh, okay.
So I'm here from Indianapolis, and then I went to Bishop Chittard High School.
Well, good for you. Catholic education, it really helps a lot, doesn't it?
I actually had the trifecta. I went to St. Mary's Notre Dame up in South Bend.
Oh, well, is really awesome. Yeah. Well, it's great because now you're putting all that formation into practice, right?
Absolutely.
So tell us about the office that you work for.
Sure. So the Office of Human Life and Dignity, we just rebranded the name.
Okay.
And actually, we used to be called the Pro-Life Office. And under the Pro-Life Office, it was you had pro-life activities along with a number of different ministries. And then underneath that, you also had the Office of Family Life and Marriage and Family Life. So
I'm glad you're telling me this because it can get confusing, you know, in terms of, you know, what's going on. So keep going.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So they wanted to, they did a survey of all the ministries and, you know, what was happening and, you know, what is the congregation, what does the community see these ministries in the Archdiocese doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, it needed a little bit of clarification. So mm-hmm. they rebranded, the names. And so, they split the offices because they wanted a little bit more focus
mm-hmm.
on actually marriage and family life, and they decided that that needed to be more prominent in the Archdiocese, and that needed to have a director position. So actually my coworker and on the same leadership team is Scott Seibert, and
okay.
He's the director of marriage and family life. So then they also, so in that rebranding, they renamed the pro-life office as Human Life and Dignity. And another reason that they did that was because they really wanted to bring the focus. They wanted to broaden the focus. Because
mm-hmm.
I think when people hear pro-life, I think that we are used to hearing, the issue is just abortion.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very prominent issue in the pro-life world. But also pro-life means that we, you know, uphold the dignity of all life from conception to natural death.
And that's becoming a bigger issue all the time with states adopting assisted suicide, as they call it, laws. And think the number's up to 9 now or something like that, number of states that have adopted that. So that is a issue that hardly existed a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is a growing issue and a concern, and I think they, you know, so the filtering down from the USCCB wanted to make sure that all, you know, issues relating to human life were addressed. And so I think rebranding the name to the Office of Human Life and Dignity really encompasses that well.
I agree. And I'm wondering, how did you happen to come into this role, and how long have you been in the role?
This is a funny story. So I'm actually a nurse by trade. So I went to St. Mary's College, Notre Dame, and for nursing school.
Okay.
And so I graduated there, and I spent most of my career, or all of my career, actually, at Community Hospital East.
Okay.
In the intensive care unit as an ICU nurse. So I was there for 10 years. During that time, being in the ICU, if you talk to anybody in the medical profession, they'll say, wow, you're in the ICU for 10 years. Now, I know a lot of people on my floor have been lifers in the ICU, which is actually pretty rare.
Okay.
People are usually in the ICU for a year or two, and then they, you know, they move on because it's very challenging and
intense, I would
yes,
think.
Yes, it's emotionally and physically draining.
And you get a real feel for the issue of life. I mean, in intensive care, you're right on the edge of life in some cases.
Absolutely. Like I definitely have an interesting experience with a lot of, you know, the end of life, which is something I think that the Archdiocese found interesting when hiring me. Now, when I was deciding to leave the ICU because I was needing a change. I'm actually getting married in July, and so I was picturing my life as a, you know, having family life, and was not seeing the ICU as something that I could really keep that up and also manage a family. So I was feeling called out of that, but I thought maybe I would just, and I felt called to like serve the church in a more profound way. I also teach a form of natural family planning called the Creighton Model.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do that on the side. So I thought maybe I was supposed to do that more. But as researching that and researching Catholic doctors' offices and seeing what opportunities there were, doors were closing. I didn't really have any, you know, opportunities weren't clicking as I was interviewing at different places. So I emailed Scott Seibert to talk to him about, you know, what could I do to maybe be involved in, you know, natural family planning.
If you're just joining us right now, I'll just pop in here because people driving, you know, they're saying, who's talking? I want to know who that is. We're talking with Breanne Eichhorn. She is the coordinator for the Office of Human Life and Dignity for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. And I want to ask you, you know, Pope John Paul the Great, St. Pope John Paul the Great, has called our culture the culture of death. What exactly did he mean by that, and what are you doing in your office to build a culture of life? Because we're really trying to build a culture of life.
Yes.
that was a jam-packed question. You didn't know there was going to be theology on this interview. Maybe tell me, what are you doing in the office to build a culture of life? Because that's kind of, in terms of the rebranding, it really seems like, you know, you are bringing all those issues together, as they should be,
right,
to build a culture of life.
Right, absolutely. So, you know, the culture of death was, you know, brought to the attention of the world by, you know, John Paul II, and really, really nailed it on the head that that's what was happening with the issues of abortion and now, you know, euthanasia. And, you know, we kind of live in a society where we just can dispose of people without really thinking of the consequences. And, you know, and I think it's a culture of, you know, comfort and immediate gratification. And, you know, we are in the Office of Human Life and Dignity, we are really trying to counteract that. And the one issue that I can really say that we are working on right now is that issue of euthanasia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the world is, you know, saying that, you know, suffering is not necessary. You know, there are easy ways to eliminate that. And sometimes maybe it'd even be better if, you know, if you are suffering and ill, and maybe you're a burden to your family, to society. And, you know, the Catholic Church especially, you know, my office filtering from, you know, from the USCCB, direction from the Pope, you know, we are really trying to educate and promote palliative care, really mm-hmm. good palliative care medicine.
Will you define what that is for people who may not know what that is?
Yes, absolutely. So palliative care, so there's two issues, palliative care and hospice care.
Okay.
So, and people usually kind of think that they're the same, mm-hmm. But really it is treating the symptoms and really accompanying patients and their families at the end stages of their life, and giving them care. And there's, you know, there are teams at, especially, you know, at, there are hospice and palliative care teams, you know, at St. Francis, at St. St. Vincent, thank you. So I was like, I couldn't think of it. St. Vincent, Franciscan Health. And, you know, where I worked, community health, there was even, you know, a palliative care team. And they're really there to help and journey, accompany the, you know, the suffering patients and their families at the end stages of their life. And that includes, you know, there's usually a team. There's doctors, there's nurses, there's social workers. They are there to support and to educate, pain management, symptom management. So your goal is comfort, where some, instead of not always, treatment or cure.
And also that team that, you know, that palliative care, palliative mm-hmm. care team mm-hmm. is really there, not just supporting the individual person who is going through this, you know, end of life stage, but also the whole family.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so it is, it's a team approach, not only for the patient, but also for the family, because everyone needs support at the end of life, because it is such a, you know, it's a stressful time.
We are going to take a quick break, and we will be back to talk with Breanne Eichhorn about human life and dignity. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Had enough cold weather and snow? Well, put winter behind you. Sign up now for the Catholic Radio Indy annual golf outing. It's coming up on Tuesday, May 22nd at the Plum Creek Golf Club in Carmel. It's a great day, beginning with Mass at 11 a.m., followed by lunch, golf, prizes, and a great dinner. The gold level underwriter for this event is Marion Financial Partners. Holy Rosary Parish is our Silver Plus underwriter, and Thurston Springer Financial is our Silver Level underwriter. There'll be an all-American grill buffet for lunch and delicious chicken and barbecue ribs for dinner. Plus, at the dinner, Chris Ballard, general manager of the Colts, will let you know all about the upcoming season. There's plenty of room for foursomes and for individual golfers. Foursomes are $450, individual golfers $125. Plus, there's opportunities for sponsorships as well. All proceeds benefit Catholic Radio Indy. To sign up, visit catholicradioindy.org or call us at 317-870-8400.
Listening to this radio was really like the jump start of me getting to know Jesus.
This is the station that led me to Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm here with Breanne Eichhorn. She is the coordinator for the Office of Human Life and Dignity at the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. So,
and Bridget has a whole list of questions there. And during our little break that we just took there, we came up with a whole list of more questions.
We have some more questions, too.
Breanne's never going to get out of here.
She's never going to get out of here. We're not leaving. We're just going to keep talking about this. Okay, so can you recap what your office does?
Yes, absolutely. So my office is the Human Life Office of Human Life and Dignity, and we have, and my ministries focus on upholding the dignity of life from conception until natural death. So what does that mean? So my my ministries include, I do any pro-life activities. So the things that you might know of are, I support and I promote 40 Days for Life. Mm-hmm. Our office's big event, which this year, or actually in 2019, will be in conjunction with Lafayette Diocese, like it was last year.
Oh, okay.
And it will be down at St. John's, and that is the solemn observance of Roe versus Wade, mm-hmm. where there will be a mass, and the night before there will also be like a vigil, where with Eucharistic adoration. So a lot of praying for and for life during that vigil, as well as having the mass on the solemn observance of Roe versus Wade, as well as marching and to the Capitol to show, you know, to show the city, show the state that we are fighting for life. The other ministries that I and I support and work with Respect Life coordinators all over the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and support and promote their activities as well. We have a ministry called Project Rachel. Mm-hmm. Project Rachel is a ministry for post-abortive women. Mm-hmm. And this is a beautiful ministry that really reaches out to women and shows them that the mercy and love of Christ. There are retreats, the model Rachel Vineyard Retreat. We will be having one in November. Mm-hmm. And as well as
2019, right?
2018.
2018,
this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in 2018.
I'm already in 2019. Yeah. I'm fast forwarding.
Yeah, this November. We had a very successful one in March where we had some women come, and it was a beautiful experience of healing. And we also, there's a Project Rachel support group that they meet every month, and so that they meet with these women who they can come and have continued support as well. There's also, you know, I support and work with Debbie Miller, who does mm-hmm. Healing Hidden Hurts,
right.
as mm-hmm. well.
Great
so,
ministry.
Yes, great yep. ministry. So, you know, there are some beautiful things happening in the Archdiocese with post-abortive women, and actually there are other dioceses who call our diocese to know what's happening in Project Rachel, because they're trying to look for this ministry.
And we talked about a little bit about assisted suicide. You know, a lot of times, just as you were talking about the mm-hmm. rebranding, you know, that it's not just abortion, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, the full spectrum of, you know, from conception to natural death. So what are there any other ministries that are not directly related to abortion that you want to talk about?
Yes, we have health ministry. So it was very interesting getting this job, that with my nursing background, that I would also have I would be help coordinating this ministry as well, which includes parish nurses, health ministers at different parishes, and they work, you know, with the parishes to promote healthy living, as well as a palliative care piece where, you know, visiting the homebound. We also do a substance addiction ministry as well. So that is something that is really needed in Indianapolis as well as all over the world.
So now people that have maybe a Respect Life committee mm-hmm. or council at their parish, how do you interact with parishes? Mm-hmm. Talk yeah, about that yeah. a little bit.
Well,
because you're at the archdiocesan level.
Right, exactly. So I'm just starting. So uh-huh. I started in February. So my goal.
I started back in January. So we're both new. We joked about that a bit ago.
Great, yeah. So February. And so one of my main goals, you know, in the next, you know, few months is really reaching out and trying to find out who is, you know, who's the lead at each parish, you know, finding out who they are, what they do. And my goal is to, you know, set up meetings to meet with these individuals. And I've met with several already mm-hmm. To, you know, face-to-face time, really figure out what they're doing and how, what they're doing and how can I help them and how can I serve them. And so it really is a collaborative project. I am their point person mm-hmm. for things that they want the Archdiocese of Indianapolis to know, things they want the Archbishop to know that they are doing. You know, so the parish, on the parish level, they're working with their priest, you know, to really reach their congregation, their community. And then on the archdiocesan level, I really hope that we can build a network and really, you know, let everyone know what's going on, because I know that there are pockets of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis that feel that they are neglected or that they are not mm-hmm. being reached by the Archdiocese. And really, I think what we can do to help that is to build community. And so really networking these parish Respect Life committees together.
Now, I'm curious, two questions, and you may not know the answer to this, but mm-hmm. generally, how many parishes there are roughly in the archdiocese, roughly, and then how many of them, how many parishes either don't have a plug-in for Respect Life? They maybe not have a plug-in committee. You know, mm-hmm. they might not have a Respect Life committee. I mean, our parish, I'm not in the Archdiocese. I'm in the Diocese of Lafayette.
Okay.
But I'm trying to think. I think our Respect Life committee has been going on for maybe 10, you know, 15 years, mm-hmm. and some parishes might just be starting out, or maybe some don't. Mm-hmm. So do you have a gauge at this point yet? I know you're pretty new. Yeah. How many, you know, have this? Mm-hmm. And if they don't, you know, they might want to get rolling with one.
Right, absolutely. You'll have to forgive me because I've never been good at numbers. My grandma always asked me how many students went to my college. I could never tell her. So I know that the Archdiocese is huge.
It is.
So it goes all the way down to New Albany. There's, you know, the Batesville Deanery. Mm-hmm. There's the, you know, Terre Haute. You know, we're massive.
Yes.
So the amount of parishes, I know someone knows this.
Honestly, I need to bring in a Lafayette directory and an Archdiocese director because I always ask this question. I don't know the answer either.
I've seen that number and I've heard that number.
I know, me too.
And it just doesn't stick, but it's a big number.
It's like over 300, isn't it? It's a lot.
It's a lot of them.
It's a lot.
If we had a call in, we could have someone call in and tell us that, but we'll get that at some point.
Yeah, I have a whole directory. I should have brought it, but you know what? The engagement is actually really large. And so, sure. You know, I just found a Respect Life listserv, which was pretty exciting because I was able to just send out an email and everyone, you know, responded and started giving me their names and their contact infos. So that was really helpful. And so, you know, we have this beautiful creation called Flocknote. I don't know if you've heard of Flocknote.
I have heard of that. Talk about that a little bit, what that is.
So Flocknote is just a massive email. And it's catchy and it has, you know, great colors and, you know, makes it user friendly, mm-hmm. Very easy to design and easy for the receivers to communicate. And so adding all these contacts to my Flocknote to communicate with all my Respect Life
Now, if someone is thinking, gee, I don't think we have any thing like that at our parish, mm-hmm. maybe they just don't know about it, mm-hmm. and maybe should check with their pastor. But if they don't have something like that at their parish, where would they start?
Well, I would first start by asking your pastor, sure. You know, and, you know, going to your pastor and saying, I want this at my parish. And then, you know,
we have a small group of people that are really interested in, you know, pursuing this.
And yeah, absolutely. I mean, your pastor is going to be, you know, your main support person. Sure. But if you need help approaching your pastor, if you need guidance on what to say or even coming up with a proposal for your pastor or something like that, then I'm your support person. And so I would, you know, encourage you to reach out to me. And I'm sure we'll give my contact information.
Yeah, you can do it right. You can give it right now.
Okay, great.
Right now. We'll give it at the end, too.
Okay, great. I mean, you can reach me. My email is B as in boy, Eichhorn, Eichhorn, @archindy.org. My number is 317-236-1543. Or you can, you know, find more contact information at our website is www.archindy.org/humanlifeanddignity.
So how has this ministry, just the whole pro-life ministry, impacted your faith, and how have you seen it, you know, impact others, you know, like maybe the 4 Days for Life or some of these events that you've gone to? Mm-hmm. What's it been like in terms of, you know, how when you're in a ministry, you feel like you're giving, but then God works it out that you end up getting so much more than you had no idea about.
Right. I think some beautiful things is just being able to be, you witness the faith of others. You know, serving a ministry is, you know, is a great blessing to, you know, work with these people who are passionate about what they do. And so, you know, serving my committees, like my Project Rachel committee, my health ministry committee, my substance addiction committee, there's just a beautiful, they have a beautiful zeal and passion, and it's a privilege really to witness that. And, you know, my faith grows as I see their hope, their patience, their ability to wait on the Lord to work. So, you know, it is a privilege to be able to accompany them and to serve them.
Now, Breanne, parents are the primary teachers, are supposed to be, mm-hmm. the primary teachers of their own children. What would be a way to kind of softly introduce the pro-life issues to children, and what would be an appropriate age to do that?
You know, I think you can start, you know, peace, you know, well, you know, what is a culture of life? You know, culture of life is, you know, is promoting peace, really, mm-hmm. you know, and this desire that life is worth living, you know, that everyone has the right to life, you know, from conception to natural death, and that, you know, we're all called to follow Christ, to pick up our cross, and suffering is included in that. And so being a witness to, you know, how to suffer well is, you know, and how do you do that? And by living your life as a family, and the family is not an easy path, you know, it's messy, there's chaos. Pope Francis talks about this all the time, how beautiful it is, how beautiful this mess is. Mm-hmm. And so, and how do you keep that in the forefront when things are hard and difficult? And I think it's prayer. So I think praying with your family can never start too soon. And then also there are events that you can take your children to that are not necessarily, you know, going to, you know, sometimes, you know, people maybe are afraid to introduce their children too early. So I invite parents to leave that up to their own discretion. But, you know, prayer is always a great community experience. And just to see all the people who are praying together is powerful.
Are there any events? We only have about a minute 30 left, but are there any events that you're really excited about coming up that your office is either involved in, mm-hmm. promoting, or, you know, support, or hosting?
Yeah. So June 26th, the Archdiocese, along with Franciscan Health and St. Francis, Franciscan Health and St. Vincent,
okay.
are collaborating together to have a palliative care, hospice and palliative care conference, which will be at Marion University.
Interesting.
Yeah, Marion University, the Evans Center, and it's going to be, you know, education. We're really promoting this education to those on the forefront dealing with end-of-life issues, and so giving them the tools that they need and the support that they need in order to accompany their parishioners. So priests, directors of religious education, pastoral associates, healthcare ministers, you know, so I'm really trying to encourage them to come.
And where can people find out more information about that?
They can find that at www.archindy.org/humanlifeanddignity.
Bree Ann Eichhorn, the coordinator of the Office of Human Life and Dignity for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, you have been a real treat to have on here today. And you know what? I just want to say that you are a gift to the Archdiocese, and they should be very grateful that they have you. So I'm just giving you a little plug there.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks, Archbishop. Good decision there. All right. Well, God bless you, Brianne, and God bless the audience today.
All right. Thank you so much.
We'll see you soon.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400. Or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.